Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Talking some Packers football this morning, recapping last week's scrimmage, the family night scrimmage, the annual intra-squad scrimmage. Taking a peek back, taking a look back. And talking about all sorts of training camp issues here. Kind of a busy Monday morning regarding the Packers. A lot of things to get to on the show. But yeah, I kind of wanted to start off, you know, looking back at the, you know, last week's big event, the scrimmage, and kind of determine some winners and losers from that event. Kind of look back and see who did well, who didn't. And, you know, we have to give some perspective to the family night scrimmage. It is indeed, after all, just a scrimmage. I've used that word 20 times already this show. It's not a regular season game. It's not a preseason game. It's a scrimmage. And that being said, you know, there are some, you know, tongue-in-cheek winners and losers from me. The winners, first of all, the Green Bay Packers for selling out family night, putting over 55,000 people in the stands, and kudos to the fans who showed up and enjoyed yourselves and supported the Packers. I think it's a great event. I think they do a good job with it. The tickets are reasonably priced. Some perhaps argue that they could be lower than I think the $10, you know, price that they are. But regardless, you know, between the shirts off our backs, the fireworks, the entertainment they do, I think it's a good event and something, you know, a lot of people take their families to, and that's always a good thing. On top of that, though, other winners, just the coaching staff, head coach Mike McCarthy for creating a fun environment, the team itself, with the players jumping into the stands, doing the Lambo leap to the field goal competition among the offensive and defensive linemen at the end. Those are all great things, you know, something fun to do on family night, you know, something to do once a year where they're doing those type of things that gets the crowd involved and just really a good time. That's perfect venue to do that sort of thing. Kudos to the Packers for creating a fun environment from the coaching staff to the players to the organization as a whole, all on down the line. Great job. My tongue-in-cheek loser would be the most worthless penalty I've ever seen in the history of my life. The unsportsmanlike conduct penalty when the entire offense, after they scored the first touchdown of the game, jumped into the stands, did a 11-player Lambo leap, and got the crowd psyched up and involved. And I thought it was rather impromptu. Well, I mean, obviously it was planned ahead of time, but it took me by surprise. And I just sat there, smiled, and laughed a little bit when I saw it. And, you know, I know those were replacement referees. If you don't know that deal yet, I mean, that's a whole other story. But, yeah, so replacement referees reffing the game. And, you know, I'm sure they kind of wanted to, you know, be taken seriously and tried to want to do their job to the best of their ability. And absolutely it would be a penalty during a regular season game. But I think they outthought themselves a little bit. They were trying a little bit too hard by giving the Packers an unsportsmanlike penalty for something like that during a scrimmage, during an intra-squad scrimmage. I think they realized after the second Lambo leap of the night that they were making a mistake and didn't call it on them the second time. So good job by the replacement referees for doing that. But so there's your tongue-in-cheek winners and losers from family night. And You know, I did want to take a look at a couple things that I took away from Family Night. Maybe if we do, you know, typically on the blog at Cheesehead TV after most games, I do my blue chips, red chips, and cow chips report. And I didn't after the scrimmage. I didn't have time. But anyhow, maybe do it on the show here this morning. My blue chips, if I had to give, it, you know, usually I give two. I haven't thought this out, you know, exactly whether I'm giving out one or two or whatever here this morning, kind of going off the top of my head. But if I were to give a blue chip to at least one player, I mean, and this doesn't come as a surprise, and it's probably almost lame to give a blue chip, but I mean, to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the guy is just was on top of his game. And, you know, like I said, it comes no surprise, comes as no surprise that Aaron Rodgers would be a blue chip player. But I mean, if I thought one player came away that played really well and, you know, just somebody I'm not worried about, just somebody who's in midseason form already, Aaron Rodgers. And I thought what really was impressive was his ability to distribute the football. And, you know, it's almost hard for me to give a blue chip or red chip to any one particular receiver or tight end or, you know, any of the targets that caught passes from Aaron Rodgers. But Rodgers gets the blue chip because he just got everyone involved, and maybe the receiving core as a whole would get a blue chip. You know, from Jordy Nelson, nice completion down the sideline, albeit kind of with a Sam Shields gambling going after the interception. Greg Jennings, long touchdown. Donald Driver showing he's, you know, he's not too old yet, catching the long pass down the sideline. Jermichael Finley getting involved. Tom Crabtree putting on the double move, although he did have a drop pass later. Who else? You know, the young guys as well, the undrafted rookies. Even Jarrett Boykin, a guy you haven't heard a whole lot about during training camp, getting involved. The running backs catching some screen passes. Who was it? Brandon Sane taking a nice screen pass. You know, everybody catching passes out of the backfield, catching passes in general, did a really good job. And, you know, I thought that was perhaps like your blue chip performances. Something I expect the Packers to do well, and who wouldn't, you know, the passing game to be effective early in the season. And so that's your blue chip, you know, your top performers from Sunday's scrimmage. And again, not surprising. I'm not telling anybody they don't know already. You saw it yourself. If you watched it, if you're there in person, if you watched it on the Fox affiliates throughout the state of Wisconsin, or you logged in online, if you live out of state, it was on fox11online.com. You saw it yourself. Aaron Rodgers doing well, and his receiving corps, you know, in midseason form as well. So there's your blue chip performers from Sunday scrimmage. If you want to tell us your own here, feel free to chime in on our live blog. I'm not sure your comments are being approved this morning, so you're going to have to tweet it up. Any tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV will get through to our live blog, or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. That way you can interact. I can see your comments, give your thoughts here as well. Red chip performers, I thought, were the couple of rookies, the first two draft choices for the Packers. And you know, they're not getting blue chips for me. And I can find fault with each of their games here. And there is an aspect of both Nick Perry and Jarrell Worthy, the first two draft choices of the Packers, that do kind of scare me a little bit. But, you know, being the first time they're, you know, in a live environment inside Lambeau Field in front of a packed house, I thought they did well. Especially, I thought it was good to see from Nick Perry, who's kind of had a quiet training camp. But, you know, I thought when Nick Perry did well, I thought he rushed the quarterback pretty well. He did show some quickness, some explosiveness, and getting after the quarterback. And yes, you can kind of, you know, maybe make the argument that he was working against some backup tackles. And, you know, it's a legitimate concern. But, I mean, like I said here, for the first time, for the first scrimmage, first time inside Lambeau Field, first time in kind of a live contact environment, good job there for Nick Perry for flashing, for showing something. In fact, if you watch the broadcast on TV or on the internet, they were kind of hyping up Jarrett Bush coming on a blitz, and Jarrett Bush did well coming on the blitz and getting after the quarterback. But on that same play, I'm not so sure that Nick Perry wouldn't have actually gone to the quarterback first on that play. The announcers giving all the credit to Jarrett Bush. So, for what it's worth, I thought Nick Perry probably would have gotten the sack there, got half a sack each, whatever. And then Jarrell Worthy, his highlight of the night was coming through the line of scrimmage on a running play and stuffing the running back for a loss. I forget who the running back actually was on that particular play. Was it James Starks or Alex Green? I don't know, but maybe even Dwayne Bennett. I forget, but regardless, it was all about, you know, Jarrell Worthy, you know, getting through the line of scrimmage and, you know, just really anticipating. And this is what he did in college as well. He does such a great job anticipating. I think there was a pulling guard and he shot through the line of scrimmage. He was probably the center's, person to pick up, center's responsibility, Evan Dietrich Smith. Just, and you can't blame Evan Dietrich Smith. I mean, he didn't even have a chance. And it's partially due to Worthy's quickness. He's so quick off the ball. Really good job there. But, you know, here's my worries about each of them, the rookies, Nick Perry and Jarrell Worthy. I think Nick Perry can be a pass rusher. He showed he was in college, and he showed that during the scrimmage on Friday night. He can be a pass rusher. He can get after the passer and do okay there. But I am worried about him. Anytime you're asking Nick Perry to work in space, and mainly I think we're talking about when he's in coverage, and I suppose it's a good thing. You know, Nick Perry is not going to be asked to be in coverage all that often compared to how often he rushes the passer, compared to how often he's playing the run. He's not going to be asked to drop in coverage, you know, comparatively a lot. But still, yeah, I think he's maybe too big for his own good still. I don't know if he still has to drop some weight, perhaps. Or maybe just the ability isn't there in general for him dropping into coverage. Perhaps that lateral movement when he's got to guard a receiver out to the sideline. I am worried a little bit there that he's going to get exposed and passes are going to be completed in his direction. So that's my concern. And again, it's tempered. Like I said, he's going to be rushing the passer much more often and sitting there playing the run much more often than that. So there's a lot of good things about Nick Perry as well. My concern about Jarrell Worthy, if he's not anticipating something, you know, all of a sudden there's a pulling guard and there's this opening, is he going to be able to make plays any other time? You know, go watch his college highlights. All his highlights are like the same thing, like shooting through the line of scrimmage because there's a pulling guard or he's got somebody. He does use his quickness to his advantage. But I'm just not sure if he's ever engaged with an offensive lineman, will he be able to defeat those blocks and make a play? You know, get off a block and make a sack. Get off a block, you know, withstand a double team and, you know, either make a tackle in the run game or force the running back to another hole. Those are things I'm still concerned about with Jarrell Worthy. And it's far too early for me to make any judgments about these guys. You know, they could certainly change my mind in a heartbeat. We have not even played a game yet. But this is what I'm worried about these guys early on. But, you know, they made plays in the scrimmage, and heck, if they make a play or two a game like that, it almost negates any negatives they do. If Nick Perry has two sacks a game, I mean, forget what about he does in coverage. He's worth it right there. You know, if Jarrell Worthy has two tackles for a loss a game, it's worth any negatives he has. It's worth it. They don't even have to play him on first down. He can come off the field on first down, and C.J. Wilson can come in and play the run. You know, so I mean, take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, but you'd still do hope these guys become complete players. And they're rookies, and maybe they won't be a complete player the rookie year. Maybe they will a year, two, three down the road. So, I mean, that's my two cents. There's your red chip players from Friday night's family night scrimmage. The rookies, the top two. And then your cow chipper, I guess if... You know, it's difficult to assign any of these cow chips. I don't like doing it, but just one thing I scratched in my head is kicker Mason Crosby. You know, here, I think, who was it? Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette writes this article on their website that Crosby and Mastay are perfect so far during training camp through the first week plus. Perfect. Yeah. You know, Mason Crosby hasn't missed a field goal during practice. And Mastay looking good. And Mastay's continued to look good. We're not talking about him. And all of a sudden, the scrimmage comes around, and Mason Crosby goes, what, 50% on field goals? And albeit, I understand, he had a lot of long, long distance attempts at... Yeah, up to 60 yards near the end of the family night scrimmage. I mean, you had to stick around for the bitter end there to see this. If you happened to stop watching or you left the stadium, you might have missed it. It was right at the end. But, yeah, they attempted, like, probably, nearly eight field goals from beyond 50 or beyond. And you don't expect a kicker to make... 80-80% of kicks over 50 yards. I'm not saying that, but I mean, he was missing some shorter ones as well. And is it just me, or does it seem like there's too much English on the ball when Mason Crosby's kicking it? It seems like there's this hook that I'm not sure you should be seeing all the time. I am not a kicking expert, and by all means, you know, feel free to ignore me if I'm wrong or whatever. I mean, I've seen these things before. You know, I've seen, you know, kicks kind of hook from kickers before. But it just seems to me like is that something that should be happening on every kick? I don't know. Is there too much English on the ball when Mason Crosby's, you know, trying to attempt these long ones? Is there any of these that should just be kind of straight on, you know, end over end, not hooking at all? So I guess I'm throwing that question out there. You know, I don't know the answer to it myself. But obviously he did not have a solid performance from Friday night's scrimmage. So there you go. There's your cow chip. I'm not sure who else had a really bad game, poor game. Some guys have their ups and downs and things like that. And, you know, I think the young defensive backs got torched here and there. They had their issues. Sam Shields, we noted, went for the interception and came up empty. Tremont Williams didn't make a tackle, which was kind of concerning because we know tackling is an issue with the Packers. And who did he bounce off? Was it I forget who he bounced off as a receiver, but you know, you just kind of, and I give Tremont Williams the benefit of the doubt. It still was a scrimmage, and maybe he just wasn't going to put his shoulder to the test in a scrimmage practice environment. So I do give Tremont Williams the benefit of the doubt, although it's just saying I hope doesn't linger into other games. Who else here? Brandy and Ross got beat for the long game by Donald Driver. So, you know, some of these defensive backs perhaps didn't play all that well. And you know what's really a concern, I think, not that they played terrible on Friday night, but the depth, of course, of the offensive line is all of a sudden kind of becoming an issue, because now, as we learned yesterday, and the big news coming out of yesterday's practice, Packers returned to the practice field Sunday evening last night. Big news coming out of last night's practice is that two players have sustained sustained concussions, and two starters on the offensive side of the ball, wide receiver Greg Jennings and left tackle Marshall Newhouse. You know, and I don't think either of these are serious, big-time concussions. Apparently, they were both sustained during the scrimmage on Friday night. I didn't see either one of the players, like, really dazed where they had to stop play, or you saw them on the sideline, the medical staff attending to them. Yes, you saw Marshall Newhouse kind of walk off the field about 10 minutes early. You didn't get the impression that anything was wrong with Greg Jennings at all. So, you know, more than likely they're erring on the side of caution, and yeah, they maybe did sustain mild concussions. But so I think, you know, first of all, it's a good thing that they don't look serious. Again, that's you know, my impression. I'm not the medical expert. Haven't heard any reports, anything like that. But from the looks of things, doesn't look too serious. So that's the silver lining, I suppose, if there is one. But the larger picture here, you know, I think Greg Jennings, you know, keep him healthy till the regular season if you have to. There's plenty of wide receivers around and nobody's worried about them. But it has exposed the depth of the offensive line. It's exposed the depth of the offensive line when Marshall Newhouse went out, because of course, on top of that, Derek Sherrod is not practicing yet. The guy who suffered a broken leg last season, you know, didn't look good. He still isn't practiced yet. He's apparently close to returning, but hasn't yet. So how can I describe this here? The interim left tackle is journeyman Herb Taylor. And, you know, Herb Taylor, from all appearances, has done a solid job so far this training camp. He's done better than what you'd expect from him. You know, from a guy who is a journeyman, who hasn't played an NFL game since like 2008, I think it is. But he has bounced around. He hasn't played a regular season game since 2008. He's playing preseason. He's been on, I don't know if he's been on practice squads. I don't think he's eligible for that anymore. Played in the UFL, things like that. It's kind of this thing where it's like he brings the veteran experience, at least. You know, he's got that going for him, even if he's not, you know, expected or to be a starter or play at the level of a starter. He's got that going for him. But I guess what's a little more troublesome is that, you know, the rookie Andrew Datko has not really, you know, he's only a rookie and he's a seventh round, last round draft choice. So you got to take your time with a guy like this. But there were kind of, I think, some modest expectations for a guy like Datko that he could fill in and maybe he would exceed expectations, things like that. And it hasn't happened so far. The Packers are more comfortable with a guy like Herb Taylor ahead of Andrew Datko. So that's a concern as well. And when you combine that with the losses, at least temporarily, of Newhouse and Sherrod, all of a sudden you've got an issue at tackle here that's kind of, you know, become exposed a little bit. I mean, you could be going into the scrimmage or the game on Thursday, the first preseason game. The Packers traveled to San Diego for the preseason opener with Herb Taylor as your left tackle, perhaps. I don't know. Newhouse might come back yet this week, but doesn't look like Sherrod's going to. But Herb Taylor could be your starting left tackle, and then Andrew Datko could be your backup. It's not exactly an ideal situation that the Packers are in here. First of all, you need Newhouse to recover from this concussion. Then you need, hopefully, at least by the time the regular season starts, you're hoping that Derek Sherrod is ready to go. But who knows? I mean, just not going to go out on that limb yet and say he's going to be ready. I mean, the Packers don't want to lose Newhouse week one to a concussion and then have Sherrod come in, and you don't really trust him yet. So, you know, it's an iffy situation. It's things that they got to have their kid gloves on, you know, and treat with trepidation here, the offensive line. And, you know, if it's serious to Marshall Newhouse, the Packers almost have to consider the moves they made late last season, where all of a sudden there were concerns about Newhouse. Chad Clifton was injured. Brian Blagg was injured. So what they had to do was they moved TJ Lang to right tackle and put Evan Dietrich Smith at TJ Lang's, you know, left guard spot. I think they have to do a similar situation perhaps this year. If the injuries are serious enough, you're going to have to consider moving Brian Bulaga to left tackle, TJ Lang to right tackle, and Evan Dietrich Smith at guard. Again, as long as Newhouse's concussion is mild, it's not a big situation, I suppose you don't make that move yet. But if it's something that lingers on, they're going to have to consider it, I think. So there's your two cents on the offensive line situation for the Packers and the news with the concussions coming out of last night's practice. Also last night, you know, other news coming out of the training camp was that Desmond Bishop and John Kuhn returned to practice, which was good. They were actually out there hitting. They're off the PUP list. They're off the non-football injury list, whatever Desmond Bishop was on. So that's good news. They're back out there and hitting. And while these guys were out there, other veterans took the night off. It's been a tradition for training under Mike McCarthy to give once in a while these veterans a day off during training camp. Veterans who have, I think it's like 6 or 7 years or more of experience. So Aaron Rodgers, for the first time, got a night off. But, you know, older guys as well on the team, like Charles Woodson, Ryan Pickett, Donald Driver, Jeff Saturday, who else? Jarrett Bush, A.J. Hawk. All these guys getting a night off, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It happens rather infrequently. Seems like once, twice, three, you know, usually more than once, but two or three times throughout the course of training camp to give veterans a night off. And I think, you know, these guys have paid their dues. They deserve a night off. Keep them healthy, keep them fresh. And then what it also does is give the young guys more reps during practice. And that's not a bad thing either. So, you know, I think that's fine. And you know, one thing that's just kind of, you know, coming through this morning, news that's just kind of emerging, report from ESPN, and I'm not sure who it's exactly from. It sounds like Ed Werder, Adam Schefter, Chris Mortensen, all three of them perhaps kind of teaming up on this report, if I have it correct, that the NFL is set to offer Jonathan Vilma a reduced suspension. He, of course, New Orleans Saints linebacker who's been suspended for the entire year for taking part in the New Orleans Saints bounty program, they're set to reduce his suspension if he agrees to drop his defamation suit against the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. And this could have implications on the Packers because, of course, defensive lineman Anthony Hargrove currently has an 8-game suspension. If they reduce the suspension of Vilma, could see a reduction in the suspension of Hargrove as well. Whether that means they cut it in half from 8 to 4 games, I don't know. This is just kind of a report that's coming out this morning that the report is the NFL is offering this. Not that they've done it, that Vilma has accepted it. It's kind of an emerging report that I don't have all the details yet, kind of signed to keep an eye on here as the day progresses and the weeks progress, actually. Taryn for 12 comment on the live blog I see here. If Vilma is really innocent, he cannot accept deal. And that is a good point, a fantastic point. I've said it before here on the show. I think the evidence that the league has produced or, made public that these guys have had a bounty on players, including Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre in the past. I haven't seen much conclusive evidence that this actually happened. And I do think there's, they kind of created a culture in New Orleans that, they shouldn't be creating, where they're kind of, there's talks about the defensive coordinator Joe Vitt there that or Greg Williams that they're talking about knocking people's heads off and what was it, the reference to Dog the Bounty Hunter on a power play slide, and those things aren't good, and I think the New Orleans Saints should be rightly punished for kind of creating that culture. But I do think the suspensions went way overboard when you're suspending people for an entire year, which they've done to Vilma and head coach Sean Payton, things like that. So, this is an extremely intricate and complicated issue here and almost above my head and hard for me to get into. But anyway, the point being, could be, a situation where Anthony Hargrove's suspension is reduced here. Just a Bob commenting on the live blog. Evidence linked to financial statements. League does not want revealed. So there you go. Thanks everybody for joining us here on a Monday morning here on Railbird Central. Practice tonight is at 7 p.m. once again. So another night practice tonight before tomorrow they get back to an afternoon practice in advance of the first preseason game Thursday. Finally, game time. Even though it's only a preseason game, we finally actually get to see game action on Thursday evening as the Packers travel to San Diego to face the Chargers. So looking forward to that. We'll be back on Wednesday with another episode of Railbird Central. So join us then. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, thanks for joining us. Thanks for using Twitter to chime in on the show here. Appreciate it. So we'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Ocean Billy by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.